Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
A Democratic candidate for governor was in Marion County recently. Let's go in-depth with John Norris from Red Oak. John, could you tell everybody a little bit about yourself?
Sure, Bob. I grew up on a farm down by Southwest Iowa, down by Red Oak. My little brother's in the home place now where my great-great-grandparents settled. I've been involved in business. I was in the restaurant business in Greenfield, Iowa, vice president of the Chamber of Commerce in Greenfield. I've been the state director of the Iowa Farm Unity Coalition during the farm crisis in the 1980s. I was chief of staff to Governor Vilsack. I was the chief of staff at the U.S. Department of Agriculture. I was the chairman of the Iowa Utilities Board, and I also served in the Obama administration as a commissioner on the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. And then my final assignment for the Obama administration was the U.S. representative to the United Nations for agricultural policy. So I had a lifetime of government, business, and agriculture and energy are my policy backgrounds, and I think both critical to Iowa's future.
Jim Hicks.
Yes.
Attorney Jim Hicks from Knoxville introduced us. And he was what, your baseball coach, did he say?
Yeah, we came from the same hometown of Red Oak. And Jim was the Little League coordinator when I was in Little League. So I remember him back from when I was, not even a teenager, I guess. And then Jim and I also went to Simpson College. So we know each other from our connection to Simpson as well. So we've remained in touch over the years. And it's been great to see him down in Knoxville here today.
Did you have such a close relationship? It was sort of like a mentorship?
Oh, I wouldn't go that far. No, just when you're a Little League kid and you got this guy who's a great baseball player and you're playing Little League, and you kind of looked up to him. So he's still memorable to me even today. So it's fun to reconnect this time over politics. But I had to tell him the story today about my three sons who were at the batting cage this afternoon. They're big baseball fans as well, and they're in middle school and big baseball players. So,
why are you running for governor?
I'm really worried that our government today is not looking out for people. It's looking out for special interests. The corporate lobby has too much control of our tax policy. They've been eroding our capacity to maintain our strong public schools. And that's just such a bedrock value to Iowa, is our public schools as the great equalizer to get everyone an opportunity. So I really worry about the future of our state if we're not taking care of our public school system. The privatization of Medicaid is making it harder and harder to keep health care services available in rural Iowa. And I'm unapologetically passionate about rural Iowa, being a rural Iowa kid myself. And I'm really concerned about the decline of economic opportunity in rural Iowa. And I think we can change that.
How are we going to change it? How are we going to bring jobs to Red Oak, to Knoxville, to Pella? We're doing pretty well here, but mm-hmm. there's a lot of other communities that aren't doing so well.
Well, actually, as I travel the state, I talk to a number of manufacturers and businesses, and their chief problem is they can't find workers. And I think our primary economic development strategy by the Reynolds administration is to try and lure businesses here with tax breaks and tax cuts, which undermines our capacity to develop a workforce, to fund public schools, to fund worker training programs, to provide child care assistance for those jobs that people need that child care assistance to be able to get out of the poverty and work. We've got a number of older Iowans that are stepping out of the workforce to care for an elderly parent, and we've cut funding for our area agencies on aging. And so we need to raise wages and get higher paying jobs. But I think that begins with continuing to invest in our workforce that attracts businesses to this state for high-quality workers, but enables our current businesses and manufacturers who are here and want to grow, but can't grow because they can't find the trained workforce.
Okay, so that's a different story than we hear from the Republicans in the sense that they say tax cuts will yield more jobs and higher-paying jobs. That's their solution. And it apparently is working at the national level. If you listen to some of our business leaders, that the Trump tax cuts are making the stock market boom. We see announcements of bonuses. I presume you'd disagree with that approach.
Yeah, listen, the bulk of their tax cuts are going to the wealthy. By cutting the corporate tax rate, you're helping the wealthy. Our problem in Iowa is we have 31% of our households today that can't make economic ends meet. If you're a single-parent household in Iowa, 70% of our single-parent households can't make economic ends meet. And so it's about investing in their future with job training skills and child care and elder care so we get those folks a chance to get in the workforce and make a better living. More tax breaks to businesses only erodes our tax base and the ability to fund good schools, fund desperately needed mental health services in this state. We know one in five children will have some need for mental health assistance, and we have no mental health system in Iowa for children. That's our future workforce. And we have too many children who come from those impoverished homes. Half of the babies in the state are born eligible for Medicaid. Free and reduced lunch has doubled in the last 15 years. We have a growing economic disparity in Iowa, and we've got to break the cycle of poverty for so many Iowa families. If we want to have a better economy and everyone share in a better economy, right now there's too many Iowans who are not sharing in the improving economy.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation with Democratic candidate for governor, John Norris. Okay, now a lot of those things that you said are facts and indisputable, and Republicans or your Democratic competition will dispute any of that. What's your specific plan to solve it?
Yes, schools face different challenges today, with half the students coming from impoverished homes, either food insecure or single parent families working 60 plus hours a week trying to make ends meet. We're not doing enough in our early years to help build resiliency and life skills in those children to empower them to break that cycle of poverty. In the latter years of high school, we know half of our children don't plan to go on to college. I believe we have to have aggressive job training skills program for those children not going on to college, that we identify with the local businesses and manufacturers what kind of skill sets they need. And we make sure that those children who aren't going to college start earning a paycheck before they get out of high school, so they see a different path forward in their local community and make better life choices. We have too many of our youth today that aren't going on to college, don't see a bright future economically, and are making life-altering choices that are making them less employable or unemployable. For our children going on to college, rising tuition rates are making it harder and harder for Iowa kids to pay for college education and coming out with a debt burden that they can't pay off and still own a home and start a family. So I believe we should give our college graduates a tax credit for 7 years after they graduate, tax credit for the loans they pay off, so they're able to track them to stay in Iowa, maintain our workforce of college-educated children, or attract people to come to Iowa because of the tax credit. That would, to me, would be a more valuable tax credit to our current business needs, which are workforce, and enable those more kids to go to college and get out of college and focus on buying a house or raising a family rather than being overburdened by college debt.
What else distinguishes you from others?
I think a deep understanding of the condition in Iowa rural communities and agriculture today. We know we have an increasing water quality crisis in Iowa, and we have to change the culture and practices of farming in this state. The legislature last year zeroed out the funding for the Leopold Center. And that's exactly the opposite of what we should be doing. We should be doing more public research to help farmers deploy basic practices like cover crops that rebuild soil health and take nitrates out of the water. We have less than 5% of our crop ground today in cover crops. We need to have 50% in cover crops, and that will virtually eliminate the nitrate problem in our water supply, but also begin to rebuild soil health. And the kicker is the farmers who are doing it now are seeing greater profitability. So we need more public research and extension to change the practices of farming so it's more sustainable and more profitable. And then I also would say that we have to diversify our agriculture. Our long-term future is not going to be in mass-produced number two yellow corn sold at a loss, which is what's happening in Iowa right now. But one of the most exciting things I've had so far in the campaign was just last week or 2 weeks ago at the Practical Farmers of Iowa, where there were nearly 1,000 farmers there, most of them young, and looking to make a living off the land with alternative agriculture, be that organic crops, vineyards, orchards, raising livestock without antibiotics and over injection of chemicals to a growing market for alternative agriculture. That will help repopulate rural Iowa, will help us build a more prosperous ag economy for the future. And we need to confront the notion that we have to always be locked into this monoculture agriculture state. I don't think it's going to be the long-term future for us, and we have to start talking about it.
Well, you know a lot more about agriculture than I do, but I can sit here and think of some farmers that wouldn't like what you had to say there, that they really think that this is all, you know, all this alternative kinds of agriculture is sort of a threat to them, or it's liberal nonsense, or it's...
Should help them. It should help them. I mean, they need more demand for their product. So if we diversify, those that want to stay in commodity production, corn and soybeans, we want them to be profitable. We have to help them be profitable. But half of our vehicle fleet is going to be electrified in the next 15 to 20 years. What's that do to the ethanol market? It erodes it. When I served in the United Nations and did agriculture policy for the U.S., I talked to and witnessed a lot of farm ground being put into production in Africa, South America. That's going to cut into our world market for commodity products. I don't like that situation, but it doesn't do any good to bury our head in the sand and say it's not going to happen. And we're better off talking about what are the changes coming and how do we prepare for that so that we can enable farming to be profitable in this state, but also sustainable. We've lost half our topsoil in the last 100 years. It took 500 million years to develop. So if we want to maintain a prosperous ag economy, we have to start changing some of the practices of how we farm.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation with Democratic candidate for governor, John Norris. I think some listeners will remember it seemed that for a while the renewable fuel standard was threatened. President Trump had changed his mind on it, and it took our entire delegation to get him to change his mind. It's what seems to be stable and something we've counted on for years could go away instantly if the wrong person got, depending upon your perspective,
right,
a certain person got President Trump's ear. It could go away tomorrow.
No, it's really critically important that we maintain the pressure on Washington to keep the renewable fuel standard and increase from 10 to 15%, because that'll help the ethanol market. But as I mentioned, you know, the reality is we're going to have less and less cars run on fuel and more on electricity. And so we should at least acknowledge that and say, okay, how do we make sure our farmers can be profitable in the future? We can use this incredible resource we have, this land in this state, for the benefit of our economy and for our farmers.
What other policy that I haven't mentioned that is really important to you that you want to make sure you get across today?
Well, as I travel the state, as I mentioned, the issue that gets raised the most everywhere I'm at is mental health services. We have too many Iowans falling through the cracks, and nearly every family is affected by our lack of a system to help from the most severe to the least severe with community-based mental health services throughout Iowa. That's compounded by the privatization of our Medicaid system. So one of the first things I would do as governor is end the privatization of Medicaid. When you take a Medicaid program that was run well by the state for years, and now the same pot of money and carve out a profit margin for insurance companies, it's only logical that what's going to suffer is the health care of Iowans and our hospitals who are getting squeezed for payments to be able to provide services, particularly in rural Iowa. So I believe it's critical that we end the privatization of Medicaid. And that's going to take time. We should start with our most vulnerable citizens first, the most severely disabled, the most severe mental health illnesses, bring them back into a state-run Medicaid program so we put their health care first above profits for insurance companies.
Sometimes it seems like it's the only alternative in the sense that the private companies, they aren't going to care for people out of the goodness of their heart. Somebody has to.
They're accountable to their stockholders, which private companies should be. But that's exactly why you shouldn't have a private company running a health care system for vulnerable Iowans, because they are becoming the victims of this decision to privatize our Medicaid system.
What's the most important thing that you think people should focus on you because of?
Yeah, I think there's not a wide policy difference between myself and my Democratic primary opponents. The biggest differences are who can do this job day one. And I think experience matters. in the executive of the state, someone who's been there, having been the chief of staff to Governor Vilsack, someone who's run a major state agency, who's done government and politics at the local, state, national, and international level, someone who's been a struggling small business owner and knows what it's like to be a small business owner in Iowa and can help rebuild our small businesses. So experience, and then I think my experience, particularly in rural Iowa, having been a farm and ag background and energy background, and renewable energy is a key part of our rural economy and it needs to grow. Those probably distinguish me the most from the others.
Why do you, obviously successful, could be doing lots of different things, why governor?
This wasn't on my bucket list. Governor Vilsack encouraged me last year to think about running. He said to me, you know the job better than anybody else. You know how to get there better than anybody else. And asked me to think about it. I began thinking about this last year during the legislative session when our state Republican legislature and governor signed the repeal of the collective bargaining law that had been working well for Republican and Democrats for years, when they stripped away funding for Planned Parenthood that affects so many women, and particularly poor women, and the right to or the opportunity to have family planning services. When they stripped away the right of counties to set a higher minimum wage to lift people out of poverty, and on down the line, when the underfunded education failed to deal with a mental health issue. And I got worried about the future of the state I love. When we left the Obama administration, believe me, I had the chance to make more money in Washington than this poor farm kid ever thought he could make. But our love is here in Iowa. We want to raise our boys here in Iowa, and I'm worried about the future. And it starts with that governorship. It starts with setting a different course for this state. That, as I started when we started this interview, it's caring about people first. It's fighting for every Iowan to give them opportunity. That's what we have to do, make sure they have opportunity. We can't will someone individually to success. But this has always been, to me, a state where someone like myself, grew up a farm kid in southwest Iowa, can make a difference in the world. And it starts with good schools, strong communities, a love for the land, and caring about each other. And I think we've lost a lot of that in our government today. It's really being politics for profit, too much greed, too much special interests, directing government for their own benefit. That's not the government, not the state I want to see.
Thanks to John Norris for contributing to the program. For KNIA, KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.